This is joint work with Andrew Swerdlow. So I want to start out by just giving a few examples of the types of trends in content use and personalization that we're thinking about here. So a bunch of screenshots. Starting on the left, near the top, this is a, I apologize, you can't see this very well. This is actually a screenshot of my Google profile, and you can maybe see that I have, there's a hotsec mentioned in there. So what that's referring to is that I went to the hotsec site and I clicked on the plus one button, which is, if you haven't seen it, something very similar to a Facebook like button or one of those popularity counts that's out there. So now that action that I took on the hotsec site is now being publicized to some extent on my profile because I chose to do so. At the bottom, there is a screenshot from a mail that Andrew actually received when I tweaked my LinkedIn profile. I updated it a little bit, and he got this email telling him about this action. So I took an action on LinkedIn, and Andrew gets notified about it because he's a contact of mine on LinkedIn. And then finally, the Facebook screenshot is just talking about how you can connect your blog. So any posts that are made on your blog, any comments that you get there, can be automatically displayed on your Facebook profile. So these are all examples of things where you take an action somewhere and it's publicized to some extent or at least disclosed somewhere else. One final example, this is personalized search. So what you see on the left is a screenshot of the query Witten when I'm not logged into Google. And then on the right, you see the results when I am logged in. You can see they look quite a bit different. There are a lot of location. Hopefully you can see there are location-based results. And you can see that my friend Alma Witten shows up. And in fact, there's an annotation with the results showing that she actually had shared this link at some point. So this is an example of using information from sort of a different sort of context, like my Gmail contacts, to personalize my experience here. Okay, so these are the types of trends we're talking about. So again, reuse of data that's created in a different context, used somewhere else, often to support personalization. So, you know, a natural question, I'm sure one that a lot of folks here have considered, is what are user expectations here? So there seems to be this evidence of this trend. Has it sort of been absorbed by the users? Is it something they kind of expect? And there seems to be some evidence that they don't to a large degree. If you look at various services, here we've got Twitter, a screenshot of Twitter on the left. If you look at the frequently asked questions, you'll see a lot of questions along these lines, you know, getting at these issues. For example, you know, how do I know who is following me? What are the follow limits? Who reads my updates? So all questions about visibility of the user's content, right, and access to that content. You can even see this in search results, in web search results. So if you look at the example I've got here is Google Insights for Search, which allows you to get a sense of support for certain queries over time, you know, normalized. You can see that certain queries that sort of are getting at these issues have surged in recent years. So let's see, the red curve is showing the query hide status updates, which apparently had a pretty strong uptick in 2008, and the blue curve is showing who can see posts, which also started growing in 2009. So there's some, at least, you know, anecdotal evidence that even though there's this pretty well-confirmed trend, maybe user expectations aren't quite in line with this trend. So one of the things we wanted to do was sort of get a little more data around this. You know, we've got a lot of anecdotes, it looks reasonable, but we wanted to sort of confirm and understand better user expectations in this space. So here's what we did. We did an online survey with 200 users in the United States, 110 in Germany, and 80 in Italy. So completely online. The users were paid to take this survey. I don't have detailed demographic information about the users, but I can tell you that they were drawn at random from a fairly large pool with that stipulation that we wanted to target those three countries. More than half of them have college degrees, and most are in the age range of 24 to 45. So that's what we know about the folks who took the study. And let me show you a little bit about the study. I apologize, this is a dense slide. I'll just highlight a few things, but I did want to give you a chance to see some of the questions. So at the top, you see the directions to the online survey. We are studying user practices around sharing content and interests. Please read the following article and answer a few questions about the article and your current practices. So what the participants would see was a title of the article, a snippet, and the actual URL. And they were instructed to actually click that URL, read the article, and then answer the questions. So we asked a bunch of questions around their interest in the article. How interesting is it? How likely are you to share it as an indication of interest? And perhaps most importantly, we raised the possibility of adding comments to the article. So you've probably seen this on publisher sites like New York Times Online, where you can read the article and you can actually comment on it, and anybody can respond to your comment and see your comment. So we wanted to give them a concrete example of a context in which they can enter public information. So the public information would be the comment on the article. So we asked them how likely they were to comment on this article. And a lot of why we asked these questions was to try to see if the answers to the other questions would vary according to these answers. If people are more interested in the article, do they answer differently? If they're more likely to enter comments, they answer differently, that kind of thing. Okay, so that was the first kind of group of questions. The main questions were about just directly asking the users about their expectations and their preferences for the use of these public comments. So again, trying to make it more concrete, give them a particular example to focus on. So we asked them, what would you expect to happen, or how could these comments be used, and how would you like them to be used? And these are the examples they had to choose from. So things like Google could personalize my search results using these comments. Maybe my friends get pinged, much in the LinkedIn example earlier. Maybe your friends get notified that you've commented. When people see the article, they can see these comments. Or maybe just my friends can see these comments when they see the article. If people search for me, and find my profile, they can actually see these comments, much like the plus one being aggregated on my profile. The point here, I guess, is all of these examples are motivated by things that were either, they're very similar to things we're already seeing in the world today, like notifications based on updates, aggregation of plus ones on profiles, personalized search, social search. All these are meant to reflect all of those types of products that we have already. Okay, so let me show you some results. So these are US only in this chart. The gray bars are the fraction of those 200 users who expected the use that's on the x-axis, and the black is the fraction who wanted the use. So, of course, there are loads of difficulties with doing these types of surveys, so I would caution against taking the hard numbers as hard numbers. but I think the takeaway here is that overall, the percentages are very low, right? So for expectations, everything is under 50%. Most things are well underneath that. And for preferences, everything's under 30%. And again, most are well under that. The differences are significant, as you might expect for the first two, for posts being shown in profiles. So posts, again, are the comments, the public comments on the articles. Posts being shown in profiles and posts in search. The difference between expectation and preference was significant. Okay, here is a summary of results for all countries. So again, US in gray, now Italy in black, and the modeled towers, the modeled bars, are the German results. So again, overall numbers very low. For preferred uses, even lower. And there were a few statistically significant differences. We can talk more about that later if folks are interested. But again, I think the main takeaway is just sort of the overall low value of the percentages. Okay, so there is one important caveat here, I think. Again, preferences are generally low, expectations are generally low, but there was an interesting difference amongst the users who we call here posters. So the people who were inclined to post comments on these articles, or possibly, you know, very likely to post those comments. Those are the posters in these graphs. So in general, the posters expected more uses of their public comments, and they were more positive on those usages. So, you know, you might hypothesize from this that your privacy preferences are somewhat dynamic, and that these posters were sort of better equipped, perhaps, to answer these questions. They could understand the application, they could see some utility to it. But in any case, you know, it is clear that their preferences and expectations were different. Okay, so that was the main thing we wanted to do, was kind of get more numbers, get more understanding around the expectations and the preferences for data use and personalization. But we did also want to talk a little bit about the sort of research challenges going forward. And I think there are at least three significant ones. Transparency is certainly, you know, a huge challenge, right? Users are clearly not aware of where their data is going. It's very difficult to provide this awareness, right? Both because of, you know, simple limitations on the UI in terms of space, and also just capturing the user's attention. So I think Helen Nussbaum has talked a lot about contextual privacy, and that seems to be what's needed here, right? You need to grab the user's attention in context and make them aware of these uses. And of course, control, right? There's ample evidence that users want to control their data. One I think huge challenge here is accurately conveying what control you can have, right? We don't want the user to come away with thinking they've got this, you know, fabulous DRM type future when we really can't enforce that level of control. So realistic controls are needed. And then finally, the third one, utility, that I think is just as challenging as these and has kind of gotten the least attention. You know, as you probably saw when you looked at those questions, it's really hard to answer those questions, right? How can I make a decision about giving a service my data when I really can't appreciate the benefit, if any, that I'm going to get, right? So, you know, and of course, in the services defense, it can be very hard to demonstrate that utility without having the data, without having a lot of time, right? So we need to identify contexts in which we can actually give, efficiently give examples to the user of what they would get by choosing that setting, by sharing this data, so that they can actually have a chance of making a reasonable choice here. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank our speaker.